Mike.
Yes, sir.
How you getting along?
Oh, we're pretty good, sir.
Are you at home at the office?
At the office.
I want to visit with you a little bit on three or four general things and not get a decision, but get your general feeling and any advice that you think might be helpful. One is this change in Article 19, United Nations. You know our problem there. They were very anxious, Stevenson and Cleveland, for me to make a proposal yesterday to the effect that we would go along and not require the Russians and the French to kick in their share. I did not want to do that until I could get a little better position within the government. Rusk had been pretty strong, the State Department the other way, and I had gathered that there'd been a pretty strong feeling in the Hill. It looks like, though, that they're not going to have any General Assembly if we maintain our position. But in any event, I told him it wasn't a matter to be debated at an anniversary party, that the time to do that would be when the General Assembly met, and that would give us some time to try to find our position. I just wondered what your feeling was on the matter, and what you know about it, and what you think about it. My instinct was I didn't do it, but Stevenson is demanding overnight that he be permitted to do it, and I turned him down. He sent me this cable. I'm at the range. I came in here last night, and the group, you know, around the department and around the UN are rather critical because I don't make a lot of these proposals they want me to make, and here's what he says in his cable. I break no new policy ground. I do identify the central issue. I do state the problem we're working on. And then this is how he states it and what he wants me to approve. To me, what he says is not too inflammatory, but it just shows that we are leaning that way, and I don't see any reason for doing that now. But he's just almost demanding it. Here's what he said. This will not satisfy the delegates who hoped that we would break the impasse. But at least they can't say we ignored the issue. Here's what I propose to say. Quote, we all know that the deadlock has to be broken one way or another before we sit down again in the General Assembly 9 weeks hence. No one member can or should decide how it is to be done. That is a matter for the Assembly as a whole. But each member can think earnestly, as we are doing, about how to strengthen and not weaken the capacity of the General Assembly to act for peace. Each nation can think positively, as we are doing, about what it can do to bring our common organization to solvency. Each member can think constructively, as we are doing, about how to assure that the General Assembly can resume its work in a normal way when next we meet on the 1st of September. Unquote.
He holds out pretty high hopes there.
Yes, he does.
Have
yes, I think that's true. And I think it'll be interpreted that our official course is one of beginning to retreat.
That's right.
We may have to do that. I would like to do it, though, after you and Dirksen and Fulbright and the Senate think that's the only alternative. I'd hate to be retreating up there.
Yes.
And have an advance going on in the Senate.
Right.
Is that your feeling?
I think you're right.
All right, that's good. Okay, do you, have there been any developments? Do you have any reaction on this Dominican thing?
No, none at all. People aren't thinking much about Dominica.
Here's about what, you know what they have proposed? The OAS.
This election thing and so forth?
Yes. Does that seem fairly reasonable to you?
I would think so, yes.
It does to me, and I just hope it'll work out that way. I don't know how they'll, what they'll do it. What I'm afraid of is, Mike, that in 9 months, 6 months to 9 months election, it won't be enough time to get over this this feeling, and we're liable to have a communist election.
Well, I doubt that.
Well, that's good. You don't think so?
No, sir.
Well, I'm just afraid they got about 6,000 there, and they're working just like ants, and they got about 100 hardcore ones, and the other crowd is not very much of a doer, and I was just afraid that we might, I might get caught with a few. That gives me, makes me feel a little better if you don't think it's... Now, what about your Vietnam? What you're thinking there these days?
There's a point that I can add to that last memo I sent down to you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
But I think that you informally and rightly suggested the U.S. Take a hand yesterday. I doubt they will. It appears to me that this fellow, Nguyen Thao Khai, the air general, is starting off on the wrong foot with those executions in public square, cutting down on the newspapers. He's starting out on the right foot in trying to root out profiteers.
And what is wrong, though, in canceling the recognition of France, wasn't he?
He was absolutely wrong.
We begged him not to.
Terribly wrong, and it's a sign of instability on his part. And I think that for us, he's going to be nothing but trouble.
We're afraid of that.
Yeah.
We're afraid of that.
I'm afraid, Mr. President, that eventually some government Saigon is going to have to enter into negotiations with the Viet Cong.
Well, would that be the worst thing that could happen to us?
No, sir.
Looks to me like that if it just keep on and keep on and keep on, and we can't get a government that we can support, and we can't get a strategy that'll win, and we can't get enough people to protect it, looks like ultimately that might be forced upon us or something of that type.
Well, looks like what Lou was in that direction when he said that we would not object to Hanoi if they would come to the table to have Viet Cong representation.
Well, I said in my press conference, too, that they can find a way to talk to us. We're anxious to talk to anybody. We don't want to make this government fall again, South Vietnamese government.
Yeah.
But we're ready to anybody if we could get any concession. Now, Frank, this is between us, but Utah is going to the Asia-African thing if it comes off. He thinks that he will be able to talk to some folks that will be helpful, and he thinks that he may be able to shove and push after my appeal yesterday to make Hanoi talk to somebody, not Ho Chi Minh himself, but somebody lower, and we can have somebody lower. I told him Avril Harriman was sitting in an airplane and would talk to anybody anytime. If he wanted me to, I'd just put him in Geneva and let him stay there. And he said, well, he'd check it out in the next few days and be in touch with me. And that's the solid thing that came from my meeting yesterday, I think, was to say to him that I wish you individually and collectively would try to do something. He's been rebuked, though, two or three times, last August, and then again September, and he's not too hot on it, but he thinks that the Chinese won't give an inch. He thinks the Russians really want to be friends and sign up with us on this, but they, in the public eye, haven't got to that point. But he thinks if we would be a little bit reasonable with our demands and could work out something with Hanoi, that Hanoi'd rather go to Russia and Russia would rather go with us and isolate China. Anyway, he seemed to be cooperative and workable. They all disappointed because I wouldn't come out and make a series of proposals. Like the nuclear proliferation that Bobby Kennedy had, and like the food proposal that McGovern, some of them had, and like the UN proposal. Now, my own thought on those things if I'm not careful in making proposals without trying to get the folks aboard ahead of time, that even though there may appear to be the right course and there might appear to be a substantial settlement for my position, that I'm liable to get cut up, and we'll try to touch bases on as many as we can before we do it. Now, the nuclear proliferation thing in foreign affairs,